Well, what disturbs me often is that people of great achievement in this country pass unacknowledged and uncelebrated. Earlier this month, a 31-year-old from Melbourne by the name of Steve Hooker, whom I would rank as one of Australia's greatest ever athletes, and yet there'd be, I suppose, hundreds of thousands of people listening to this program who've never heard of him, he bid farewell to his sport. It was a very unheralded and lowly farewell. He competed in the 200 metres and a 4x400 relay for Box Hill Track and Field Club in the AV Shield at Albert Park in Melbourne. But why are people like this allowed to just slide off into oblivion? You see, Steve Hooker is not a 200 metre runner. He's not just a 4x pole vault champion of Australia. Some of the accomplishments of Steve Hooker are of Usain Bolt proportions. Steve Hooker won the gold medal in the pole vault at the 2006 Commonwealth Games in Melbourne. His winning leap of 5.80 metres is a Commonwealth record. He went from there to Beijing in 2008. It was unthinkable. He won the gold medal in Beijing. 5.96 metres, an Olympic record. He was the first Australian male to win a track and field gold medal at an Olympic Games since Ralph Dubell brilliantly won the 800 in 1968. I might add, Ralph Dubell, the only 800 runner in Olympic history to come from behind and win an 800 Olympic final. Steve Hooker's Olympic record was broken in London. His 5.96 was surpassed by the Frenchman in London, who jumped 5.97. But Steve Hooker then won the Boston Indoor Games with an extraordinary vault of over 6 metres, 6.06 metres. Now, to those of you who are not of the current generation, that's 19 feet, 10 and a half inches. I can remember when I was coaching track and field that no one could jump 17 feet. 19 feet, 10 and a half inches, nearly 20 feet. It's an all-time Australian record. It's third on the all-time list. Only the Frenchman, who now holds his Olympic record, Renaud Lavienny, who holds a world record of 6.16 metres, and the great Ukrainian, Sergei Bubka, who held the previous record at 6.14, only two people are ahead of him in history. So you get the drift? Commonwealth Games gold medal, Olympic gold medal in 2008, an all-time Australian record in the Boston Indoor Games, the 2009 world champion in Berlin, the 2010 Commonwealth champion in Delhi. He goes from the face of Australian sport, and what happens? Nothing. Some don't even know he existed. Some don't even know he's gone. And I thought we'd just have a yarn with him, because no one of this accomplishment deserves to go out in that way. He's on the line. Stephen Hooker, good morning.
Thank you for that introduction, Alan. Very, very kind of you.
Not at all. It's all true. I didn't make any of it up. It's all true. I'll tell you what, you know, the genes are good. I actually knew Stephen's mother, Erica Nixon, a Queenslander. She won four consecutive Australian long jump titles between 73 and 76. She won silver in the 1978 Commonwealth Games in the long jump in Edmonton, and she competed in the 1972 Olympics in Munich. And then Stephen's father, Bill Hooker, was a magnificent runner. Poetry in motion, Bill Hooker. He won three national titles in the men's 400, but then shifted to 800 and represented Australia in the 800 and the 4x400 relay at the 1974 Commonwealth Games. So having said that, Stephen, how the hell did you get into pole vaulting?
Oh, I reckon it sits somewhere in the middle. Maybe if I'd had my time again, I would have run 400s or something like that, like Dad. I think a bit of an aptitude for that, but I was drawn to the pole vault.
Beijing 2008. An Olympic record and a gold medal. 2009 world champion. You pushed the pole into the ground and climbed up to 5.90 metres. These are phenomenal achievements. When you won that Olympic gold, what's going through your head?
Well, with the Olympic gold, I think the overwhelming feeling was a feeling of relief. I'd had a really good 2 years leading in, and I knew that it was my big chance to win an Olympics. And for something that only comes around once every 4 years, the way I explain it to people, it's 16 times as hard to win as an Olympic Games as it is to win a Grand Slam in tennis. There's four of them in a year, and there's one of these every 4 years. So if you feel like it's on track and you're in good enough shape to win, and you know you're one of the two or three guys that have a chance, you really just want to make it count. And And I did, but I felt relieved afterwards, to be honest. And
well, look, let me tell you.
A good long nap.
Well, let me tell you, you didn't feel relieved. I mean, everybody did. You say you're a chance, and you were a chance. But unbelievable, this gold medal in Beijing was dramatic. You made third attempt at clearances, and for those of you who know, it's like the long jump and everything else. You get three shots, and if you fail, you're out. And you made three attempts at several heights. In other words, you missed one, two, and the pressure was on. You had to clear at the third, and you did. How many times did that happen to you? I've just forgotten.
Well, my jump in the qualifying round, it happened, and then I think it happened four times in the final out of five heights.
See? So. What that means is he misses, and if he misses again, he's gone. And so this is four times and in the qualifying, five times, and you finish up winning the gold medal and an Olympic record of 5.96. And that was the year when you then produced this vault of 6.06, third on the all-time list.
Yeah, well, look, on after the Olympic Games, and for me that was just a great run competition. It just went very well at the beginning of that 2009 indoor season. And pole vault seemed quite easy at the time, which it's one of those events that when it's going well, it is easy. But as soon as you start having some challenges, it becomes the most challenging thing you can do.
See, if I was running government, I'd be going to people like this fella and saying, "Now listen, what are you doing? We'd like to employ you as an ambassador amongst young people." Because I've read the things this fellow said. He said when he finished running a little obscure 200. By the way, what time did you run for the 200 at Box Hill?
It was a bit of a headwind, Alan. I ran 22.2. So it wasn't too bad.
My split in the
4x4 was about 48 seconds.
That is very, very quick. But you said that it wasn't the way, he said he wasn't the way he expected things to finish. He said he was holding out for a happy ending, to have some great result to finish on. But then he said he ultimately, Steve Hooker, came to terms with the fact that the, quote, wasn't motivation enough for me to get back to where he was. But this bloke's a class act, this fellow. This is why I'm talking to him. This is what Stephen Hooker said, and I quote, "Wouldn't you like this to be said in every classroom across the country?" He said, "I think in a lot of ways it's nice to finish in humbling circumstances, rather than with some incredible performance. It's probably more symbolic of my journey and the battles as an athlete than the high points, because it was ultimately the challenge of it all. It was the difficulty of the event that drove me to it, got me hooked on it, and that was my biggest challenge the whole way through. It's an event that is nearly impossible to conquer permanently. You might have the edge on that event for a period of time, but it's so physically and mentally challenging that to keep at that level for a long period of time is hard." Wonderful philosophizing about all of this. In golf, Stephen, they sort of get the yips and all that sort of stuff. And in pole vaulting, you see them approach the target and then suddenly balk. Did you get a bit of all that?
Oh, certainly. That was my big challenge throughout my career was the mental side of it. It's a very intimidating event. You're running as fast as you can and approaching the box that you plant the pole into at your maximum possible velocity, and then there's a commitment point where you commit to planting the pole and taking the jump. And when it's going well and you're in your flow, that happens quite easily. But if it's challenging and you're not feeling 100% confident, it can seem like an almost overwhelming task. So my whole career was a battle with that moment and that decision to take off. And, you know, over the last couple of years, I've really come to terms with why I struggled with that. And there's a number of reasons, from mental reasons to biomechanical reasons. But that was a big challenge that I had, you know, the entire way through. And it's why I love the sport, and it's why it also drove me a little bit crazy from time to time.
This is Stephen Hooker. I hope people understand the reason I wanted to speak to him is that this man's achievements are extraordinary, and he deserves a spot high up in the Sporting Hall of Fame. Steve Hooker, I think you're amongst the greats, and I hope you're always acknowledged as such. You deserve, in the world beyond track and field, the kind of success that you enjoyed while you're in it. So good luck in all things. We'll catch up somewhere, I'm sure.
Thank you very much, Alan. Appreciate it. Appreciate your time today and your kind words.
Not at all. There he is, Stephen Hooker.